Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to start in the 50th verse. And I do ask you to pray. This is not what I came prepared to preach tonight. But that's okay. Because I'm not the author. He is. And so tonight I ask you to pray that God's will be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. It says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, of a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Tonight I want to talk to you just for a minute about the last trump. Soon, in our lifetime, I believe, soon, at any moment that we can hear the last trump sound, at any time that we continue to live in this world, as long as God allows time, we have time for the last trump. I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. He said, "Behold, I show you not. I don't want to get you all messed up. It's not a mystery. We are going to hear the last trump. What's going to happen when we hear the last trump?" Oh, people, when we hear that last trump, Jesus said, "Be ready, for no man knoweth the hour when the Son of Man returns." Not even the angels himself. And he said in one of the Gospels, not even the Son of God himself, but the Father which is in heaven. So he said, be ready, be prepared for what? Be prepared for what? You see, I want you to take great comfort in this. If you know Jesus Christ, the free pardon of sin tonight, I want you to take great comfort in the last trump. Oh, because when we hear that last trump, time will be no more. We started off reading here where this old body's not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, this old body that you see before you, though it's aging rapidly, it will not enter into heaven. This old body's going to the wayside. And we'll read here. Let's just go ahead and read. I'm going to get way ahead of myself. But I want you to listen to what Paul's telling us here. Because Paul's just doing the pinning of it down. God is doing the inspiration. He's the one telling Paul what to put down in the book. So what we're really reading here is what thus saith the Lord here tonight. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Now listen to that tonight. Death is swallowed up in victory. You can be victorious tonight. Why? Because I know Jesus. He is my victory. There's more than just victory in Jesus. He is victory. He's not only the sacrifice that we spoke of last night, but it's through that sacrifice and through that burial and through that resurrection that we have victory over death. This grave, this world cannot hold me down no matter what it tries to do. Did you not hear what he's saying? He's saying that dead in Christ will rise. I might not even got to that yet, but they're going to rise. We'll read it here in a minute if we haven't got to it. They're going to rise. Oh, yeah, you can put me 6 feet down. Go ahead and put me 20 feet under. Put me in two concrete vaults. Bury me with 20 caskets. I don't care if you've got all kinds of master locks on it. It will not hold me down. For when I hear that last trump, I am going to rise because my Jesus rose from the dead. I've got hope in the resurrection. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, when I die, it's not over. It just began. This body, going back to the dust, and when I rise, when I have a new body, one that's not going to have corruption, one that's going to be formed in passion like the one of the Son of God Himself. It's going to be perfect, and I don't have to worry about seeing the tail end of God's glory. I'll be able to face God face to face in that new body, and it won't hurt it. Oh no, because I'm going to have it throughout eternity. I want to be singing around the throne of God. Oh, I love to sing. I love to sing, but one day I'm going to truly be able to sing. I'm going to sing a song that even the angels themselves cannot sing. I'm going to sing a song that only those that are redeemed of God, because we can only sing the song of redemption. I am redeemed. I don't know how the words are going to go, but I'll know when I get there. I won't have to take a few moments to memorize it. I will know it when I get there, just as when He calls my name. I'll know who it is. I won't have to say who is this. I won't have to look at caller ID. When he calls my name, I'll say, here I am, Lord. Let's go. Yes. Oh, when we hear that last trump, what a day that'll be. When my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And forever, forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day. Glorious day that'd be. You know what we're gonna hear right before it happens? Is that last trump. Oh yeah. I don't know exactly how it's going to sound. I'll be honest with you, I've been in different musical bands, going through high school, and some of the trumpets didn't sound too good when they're off key. Tubas didn't sound too good either. But this is going to be a grand and glorious sound that we're going to know. It's going to ring in our ears, and we're going to know that it's Jesus coming. That's what it's representing. That's what it's sounding. They're sounding the trump, for the king is coming. I don't know if you've read much about kingdoms and different things, but when the king came into the room, the trump bearers would come in first, and they would sound the trump that was acknowledging the king was coming. And when we hear that trump, you know what it sounds? The king is coming. Oh, not just any old king. It's the King of Kings. It's the Lord of Lords. It's the great I Am himself. Is going to be descending on a cloud of glory. And I don't know if we'll ever get back to our reading or not. That's fine. But I want us to understand when that last trump sounds, it's not doom and gloom. Oh, but it's praise his name forever. It's goodbye world. Hello, Jesus. For the rest of our lives throughout eternity. We can't even imagine what eternity is. Because every time I say it, I always say for the rest of my life. That's not very long. Eternity is forever. Whether I live to be 100, whether I live to be 1,000, that's still not very long here in this world. But eternity is forever. I always want to put a time to it, but there's no time in eternity. When you hear the last trump, time ends. What we know and what we realize ends forever. There is no more looking at the watch. I don't care if you got an Apple Watch, a Google Watch, or whatever kind of watch you got. You won't need it when eternity gets ushered in because there will be no more time. No more time. No more clocks to look at. No more busy streets to go down to get to work on time or to get here on time. Time will be no more. Can you just imagine? Can you just imagine what it's going to be like when we hear that last trump sound? And time ends? If I'm here and alive, when I hear it, do you understand what we're going to be able to see? What we are going to witness? Not only are we going to witness Jesus coming, but those that have been dead before we die, they're going to be raising from the ground. We're going to be able to witness that. We're going to be able to see them rising up from the ground. Because Paul said then, after they rise, he said the dead in Christ will rise first. And then he said then they're left behind. We'll be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. We'll be caught up in the air to be with Jesus forever. Do you realize what we've got to look forward to? I get so down and depressed in this whole world with everything that's going on. You got bombings over here. You got gunshots over here. You got this going on here and this going on here. And people don't care about any each other anymore. And it's so down and depressing. And you got terrorist attacks over here. You got people that just don't care about what's going on anymore. But soon it's all going to be over. God soon will say, enough. Son, it's time. Mount the cloud and let's go get our children. That's what he's coming back for. Do you understand? We quoted it last night. He said, if I go away, I go away and prepare a place for you that I can come again and receive you. That he's coming back for us. That he can take us out of this whole world. Yes. This world's not my home, people. I've got a home at 7626 Firewalker Lane, Indianapolis, Indiana. But that's just a place to stay while I'm here. It's a place to lay my head for just a little while. It's my home. My home is in heaven. I took care of that when I was 11 years old. And God drawed me to him. And I realized that night how wretched I was. And that he was my only hope. There's hope in Christ. Do you know that tonight? Do you understand what's in the definition of hope? In the definition of hope, if you look it up in Webster, it says in that definition that it's an expectation of good things to come. Jesus is my hope tonight. I am expecting good things to come when Jesus passed by. Oh, goodness, I've got hope in Jesus. My hope's not in this world because it's most miserable, the Bible says. And I believe it. Amen. It is. It's most miserable. But my hope's in Christ. Why? Because I'm looking forward to that last trump. Oh, I'm looking forward for this corruption to put on incorruption. This mortal to put on immortality. To be carried off to be with Jesus forever. Think about that. I need an airplane to fly now. I have to get up in an airplane, which, by the way, I'm scared of heights. I'm scared to fly, but I've done it. I have to get up in an airplane to fly. But when Jesus comes back, I won't need an airplane. No, I won't need United Airlines or Delta Airlines or this airline or that airline to take me there, for I have the mainstream. Oh, I'll be caught up. Be caught up in the air just to float off to be with Him forever. My son's always going around the house. He sings a song, I believe I can fly. I don't believe I can fly. I know I will fly. I will fly. Whether I'm dead, whether I'm alive, I will fly when Jesus comes back and I hear that last trump. I will fly to be with Him. That's something I'm going to take to the grave. Or else I'm going to change when He comes. One of the two. But that's a knowledge that He gave me when I saved. You know, that's one thing that's special about the salvation that the Bible, I'm not going to say that I teach it, the Bible teaches. It's a knowledge of knowing that when you pass from this life to the next, where you're going. It's a knowledge of knowing that who is going to be there to help you through that time. You know, I'm not going to die alone. No. I could be in the darkest, dreariest jungle and no one in a physical form around me, but I'm not dying alone. No. When I take my last breath, somebody's going to be there to hold my hand. When I pass over Jordan's chilly water, I'm not going alone. Oh, I'm not going alone. I'm going to have somebody there with me. That's a knowledge that I have. Not just a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge. Of knowing that Jesus Christ is in my heart and that He dwells in me and lives in me. And I know that because He personally has showed me. The Bible says we know that we are His children. And I don't know if we'll get back to the last trump or not, but that's okay. He says, I know that I know how I'm saved because His Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, His Holy Divine Spirit bears witness, or in other words, shows me and tells me that I am His child. That's how I know. It's not because I know because someone here on this earth has told me or because I believe the preacher. No, it's because God Himself has told me and has shown me. And I'm sorry, if you got a salvation you can't feel, you don't have salvation at all. Because salvation, you feel it. That's part of that knowledge. Knowing that you have it is something that you can feel. Just as the day I felt that I was lost and separated from God, that godly sorrow, that convicting power that came upon me, I felt it. It was something I felt that made it so real. And to know. You say, I'm tired of these so-called churches out here teaching that you can't feel when God draws you. You can feel when God draws your heat and draws you. That's just a fact. And when He draws, you answer. And that's the time to be saved. So tonight I want you to think about this as we are speaking. Is God speaking to you? Is He drawing you? Church, I want you to realize when we quote Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 when Jesus says, come unto me all you that are heavy laden and I'll give you rest. You understand? He was talking to His children. So tonight Jesus is calling to you, come. Lay at my feet. Why? Soon it'll all be over. Soon it'll all be over. But until then, He's saying, come unto me. Come unto me, my children. All ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. Do you know what a yoke is? I'm full-blown city boy. I had no idea what a yoke was until I had it explained to me. And it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen when it comes to this verse. Oh, a yoke is what He used to put on the oxen, to where they would walk in a straight line together and plow together and work together. And Jesus Himself said, take my yoke upon you. In other words, walk with me, learn of me, talk with me, walk with me, work and plow the field with me and go in a straight line with me. Oh, you're talking about something humbling. Jesus wants to be yoked up with you. Amen. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Great I Am, the Almighty wants to be yoked up with you tonight, that you can work and labor with Him. Talk about something that's awesome. When you start thinking about the Word of God and what Jesus is asking us, He's not asking you to go out here and do anything on your own. He's saying, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly. My burden is light. In other words, I'm going to be there to help you. Why? Because soon the last trump's coming. And we're going to hear it. And it's going to be loud and it's going to be beautiful. And we're going to be changed and we're going to be carried away. Death's going to be swallowed up in victory. You go on and you keep reading. It says, oh death, where's thy sting? Oh grave, where's thy victory? I was preaching last week, maybe it was Sunday morning down at Whiteland, and I got to thinking about that. I thought about Jesus coming out of the grave. I can see Him just rolling the stone away and coming out and looking back to that tomb and saying, oh death, where's thy sting? Oh grave, where's thy victory? Oh, what do we say? Death is swallowed up in victory because Jesus rose from the dead. Oh, my God's not dead, people. He's very much alive tonight. He's very much alive. He's very much willing and able to do whatever it takes to help us along life's road. But more than that, He's willing to meet with us here tonight. I've already felt Him here tonight. If I don't say anything else, it's been good to be here tonight. Because, not because you're here. I love you and don't even know you. But it's because Jesus is here. His Spirit's with us. That's why it's so good to be here tonight. Oh, when we leave here tonight, I'm going to be able to say it's a delight to be in the house of the Lord. Why? Why? Because we had some real good food. Yes, we did. And I hate it because I knew I had to preach and I wasn't able to eat very much. But that's okay. I'm getting fed right now. Oh, some food from the Father above that just fills my soul tonight. When David said, my cup runneth over, you can have that tonight. Oh, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He's not talking about when you die, people. He's talking about the present time. Oh, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me tonight. Remember what he started out with? The Lord is my shepherd. What am I going to see? I'm going to see my shepherd come back. And he's going to get up his sheep. And I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait. Where are we going to go, Lord? Where are we going to go? You know, there's going to be some that aren't going to be so welcoming when they hear the last one. There's some when they hear the last trump. And they see the dead in Christ rise, and those who are saved by God's grace changing the moment of the twinkling of an eye will not be rejoicing. They'll be screaming and wailing, for the King has come, and it's too late. You see, when you hear the last trump, yes, I'm going to rejoice, and yes, I'm going to be carried away. And I'll be honest with you, it might sound cold and indifferent to you, but when I'm carried away and you're left behind, I'm not looking back. I'm not going to be concerned about what's happening down here to you or what's going to be happening to you. Right now I am. I'm very concerned right now, but when that day comes, remember I said time will be no more. Old things will be passed away. Behold, all things will become new. I won't be worried about what's going on down here. But what is going to happen? Oh, we always hear about the good things that's going to happen when we hear the last trump. Seeing Jesus. Well, it's going to be grand and it's going to be glorious. It's going to be a sight to see. But Paul tells us in his writing to the church of Thessalonica there, he tells us Christ ain't coming alone. But when He returns, He's going to return with His angels.
And they're not just coming to praise Him. They're not just coming just to gather up His children. But the Bible says that they will come with flames, their swords of flames. And they will take vengeance on a specific group of people. You notice I said specific group? Because I believe there's only two groups of people in this world. Saved and lost. I don't care what color of skin is. I don't care if you got hair or you don't have hair. I don't care if you're male or female. There's two groups of people. You're either saved or you're lost. And that's what he's talking about. There's going to be a specific group that's left behind. And the Bible says, and I believe with all my heart, because it's the Word of God and God inspired it, that He will take vengeance on them that know not God at the last trump. When the trump sounds, not only will you witness the dead in Christ rising, not only will you witness us that have been saved, changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, not only will you witness the King descending on a cloud of glory, but you are going to witness some mighty, wrathful eyes. You see, God is love. God is. He's got a love like I can't even begin to explain. But God is wrath. And He's got a wrath that I can't even begin to explain. The wrath of God is not like when mom and dad got onto us. The wrath of God is not like when you might get in trouble at school or at work. The wrath of God is not when you might get in a fight with your friends. The wrath of God is eternal. It's not here today and gone tomorrow, and tomorrow everything's hunky-dory, you're back in life and just moving on. The wrath of God is eternal, and it begins either at death or at the last trump, whichever comes first in your life, if you know not Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. You see, remember I told you earlier that I know I'm saved because God Himself told me? Well, if God hasn't told you, then you're lost. Well, no, I'm not. I'm right here at Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. I know exactly where I am. Well, I want you to understand what that terminology lost means. Lost means separated. And you're not separated from me. I see you. You see me. We know whichever where we're at, don't we? But if you've not been saved by God's grace and you've come to that knowledge of accountability in your life, and God showed you that you're accountable to Him, you are separated from God. And that's the worst place you can be. That's the worst place you can be, is separated from God. And there's only one thing that can cure that. And at that bridge that was built over 2,000 years ago, there on Calvary. Jesus Christ is the only thing that can cure that separation or bridge the gap that there is between you and the Father, that you can be reconciliated back to Him. In other words, brought back to Him. Because you see, I know I'm doing a lot of explaining tonight. That's fine. Sometimes we just need to break some things down. But you see, we're babes born in this world. We're under the protecting hand of God. I believe right now if either one of my boys were to pass from this life, that God would be protecting them and watching over them. But there's going to come a point in time in their life where God's going to let them know that they are accountable to Him. And when that happens, God's protecting hand is removed. So if you're in that condition tonight, if you know that you have been brought accountable to God, then God's protecting hand is away from you, and you need not to pray for anything except salvation. And that's it. You need to have a one-track mind tonight. And that one track is getting to Jesus. Because right now you are in the worst condition of your life. Well, you might be saying, well, I've got it made. I'm at home. I've got heat. I've got air. I've got food in the fridge. Mom and Dad can buy me what I need, what I want. I'm not in that bad a shape. You die in that shape. You haven't seen bad yet. Oh, you don't know what's getting ready to happen. The Bible says that hell is a place where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. I had a good brother up home teach a Sunday school lesson on hell, and he went and he brought a speaker in his phone, and he found a recording of what a man thought hell might sound like.
know if it's what it sounded like or not. But it was enough to open my eyes. Enough to open my eyes to a place that I don't want anybody to go there. Especially my own. But let alone anybody. I don't want anybody to go there because there's wailing. People are crying out. Right now, I guarantee you there's the biggest repentant party going on in hell. People crying out to God, begging for His forgiveness and His mercy. But you want to know what they're finding? God's justice, and that's it. There will be no mercy in hell. No mercy at all. All justice. For justice called, and if you're in hell, mercy will not answer. But right now, justice calls. You become accountable. But mercy will answer if you call upon God. Amen. See, hell is a place of everlasting darkness. Darkness. Everlasting. You know, even now, we can't have complete darkness in our houses. There's a glimmer of light somewhere in our house all the time. I remember going to Mammoth Cave and being in the cave, and they turn off all the lights and it's complete darkness down there, and it's terrifying. It is, you can't see your hand in front of your face. You can't. And it's terrifying to be in that complete darkness. There's not even a glimpse of light. The Bible says hell is eternal darkness. In other words, you won't be able to see anything around you. You'll be able to hear the wailing. You'll be able to feel the gnashing of the biting of the teeth, but you will not know what is going on around you. Just be terrifying. I used to hunt a lot. When I'd go out in the woods in the early morning hours, I used to be pretty scared going down through there. I'd have just me a little bit of flashlight trying to walk the path to get to my tree stand. And I'd walk in there. I'd be terrified. Because I knew there's all kinds of animals around me that could see me that I couldn't see them. They weren't very friendly. And that's what hell's like. You're right smack dab in the middle. And all that's going on around you, all you can do is hear it and you can feel it, but you can't see a thing. You don't know what's going on around you. The Bible also says the fire is never quenched. In other words, when people make the statement that it's hotter than hell, they don't have any clue what they're saying. Because the fire is never quenched. In other words, your soul and your body, you know you're going to get a new body too? You sure are. It's not going to be fashioned like the one Son of God, but you're going to have a new body. It's going to be a body that will never die. The Bible explains there are people in hell right now that are begging to die and unable to. Why? Because of all the torments. I told you last night that Jesus said those that believe not on Him have condemned themselves already. Well, you say, I'm a pretty good person. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a robber. I've never beat up anybody. Well, let's just turn to Revelation real quick, and I'll try not to worry your patience much more. Revelation 21 and verse 8. He just got done telling us about God's going to wipe all the tears from our... Well, let's go ahead and just read it. Let's just go ahead and read it. Let's back up. Now bear with me just a minute. Revelation 21, he said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself, did you get that? God the Heavenly Father, God the Great I Am, God the Almighty will wipe all the tears from our eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said, write, for these words are true and faithful.
And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now listen, all that's wonderful. And I could spend hours speaking about that. But the point I want to get to, that's what you're going to miss. Because listen, you might be a pretty good person. You might be good in your eyes. But you know what the Bible says? There's none good. No, not one. There's none righteous. Understand that. To know that. Now listen to what he says in the 8th verse. He says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now I'm a pretty good person. I live a good life. I have a heart in the body. But if you don't believe in the only begotten Son of God, and I don't mean just mentally believe, but I mean fully and trust your whole being in Him, you will end up in the lake that fire with burneth forever. I don't care how good you are in your eyes. I don't care how many good deeds you've done in this world. I don't care how many of the poor you've helped or orphans you've helped or the needy you've helped everywhere else. I don't care. I'll be honest with you. If you have not been saved, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter a bit. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care how many times you've been re-saved. I don't care how many times that you think you've got things right. If you're not right, you're not right. Did you hear that? He had a whole lot of people in there, didn't he? A whole lot of bad people in there. But then he added that one little world. Backed up what Jesus said there in John chapter 3, didn't he? He said, even unbelieving. The unbelieving. What is it to believe in Jesus Christ? To believe in Jesus Christ is to trust in Him. Well, how do you trust in Him? You trust that He is your Savior. You trust that He is the King. You trust that He is the sacrifice. You trust that it's His blood that makes you righteous, not anyone else, not anything else, but it's all about Him. You trust that He is going to take you to heaven. You trust that He is going to hear you when you cry to Him in repentance. You trust that it's Him drawing you to Him. You trust in Him with everything that you have. That's what it means to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. It's not just a trip down the aisle to make everybody think that you're all right. If you don't find Jesus when you get down that aisle, you ain't found nothing. What you need tonight is a come to Jesus meeting. That's what you need. That's what you need. Because that's the only one that can save you. He told the little church there when he gave them the Great Commission. He said, all power is given unto me. And that word power is also translated as authority. All power and authority is given unto me that is in heaven and in earth. In other words, I am it. And there is none else, he's saying. Do you notice Jesus put everything singular? He did. He was asked, well, how do we know where you go? How do we know what you're doing? He says, I am the way. I am the truth. And he says, I am the life. That's singular. Do you realize what God told Moses when Moses told him, well, who do I say sent me? He said, you tell him that I am sent you. Singular. There's only one way to heaven. There's not many roads that lead to heaven. There's not many salvations. We're all going to end up there in the wash. There's one singular way. His name is I am. You either come down the road to I am, or you're not going to make it in heaven. And hell will be your home. And you will burn throughout eternity. And you know what? God's not going to look back. God's not going to say, well, yeah, they've cried long enough. Let's get them out. No. No. The rich man's still crying. The rich man's still begging. And guess what? The rich man's still in hell. Never to escape.
That's what it means by eternity. You see, I've got eternal life. If you die, lost, separated from God, you are going to have eternal death. You will be dying throughout eternity and never be able to completely die. The sting of death will be there throughout eternity and you will never be able to get from it. You know, right now we can run to the doctors and everything, get pain medication, and take care of some of those things in our life. But you know what? When you get into hell, you're not going to run anywhere. Oh, when the devil gets down there, we'll have a big party. I don't know how many times I've heard that. Do you know what Satan's only thing he's worried about? Is he knows he's going to be there. And his time's running out. He's not concerned about you when he gets there. He's not going to be king over hell. He's not even going to be prince over hell. He's going to be burning in the same torments that you are. He's not going to care a bit about you like he does it now. You might think that he does. He might make you believe that he does, but he doesn't care a bit about you. He just wants you to burn in hell just to make God suffer just a little bit more. Because God doesn't want any of his creation in hell. What is the will of the Father? The Bible says that you must do the will of the Father. Well, does that mean we must live a good life and do good works? I just told you that won't get you into heaven. Peter wrote in his writings that it's the will of the Father that every man, woman, and child come to God in repentance. That is the will of the Father. And that's what you must do in order to be saved. That's what you must do. I don't know what you're looking for tonight. I really don't. I really don't know why anyone's here tonight. I don't. You have to answer that for yourself. I know I'm here. I know I'm here. And I've delivered what God has placed on my heart. And I'm done delivering it. But why are you here tonight? Why are you here? Are you here to be entertained? Are you here to listen to good music? Are you here to listen to good preaching? I'm sorry you got stuck with me. But are you here for them things in life? Are you here to be entertained by the Holy Spirit of God? He comes on the scene, people. Nothing like it. Nothing in this world like it. And I believe with all my heart, when lost souls try to sit in the presence of God, when He is among His children, they will tremble. They will fear. Not us. They will fear the great I Am and His power. And they will fall. They will find that sweet peace. Isaiah said this, and we'll close with this. When Zion travails, sons and daughters will be born. When the church gets troubled, are you troubled tonight, church? Are you concerned? I don't know anybody's heart here tonight. But if you do, and God's troubling you and concerning you about that, follow the Spirit of God. If He's not, let's not do a thing. But if God's in it, let's follow Him. Church, it's time that we, as God's children, whether you're a member here or not, it's time that we, as God's children, become troubled about the condition that our lost souls are in. They're in a non-caring condition. And that's a very disturbing place to be. And I believe it's because God's children have almost gotten to a non-caring position. So God's children, let's rise. Let's not be as bunch of dry bones, brothers. We were speaking earlier. Let's remember what He told Ezekiel there as He prophesied to them dry bones. He said at the end of that prophecy as He was speaking to them dry bones, what happened to them? When the Spirit of God came on the scene, church, what happened there that they became a mighty, exceeding great army of God? Tonight when the Spirit breathes on us, yes, we are the dry bones. When that Spirit breathes on us, what can we do? We can rise up as a mighty army. Oh yeah, when we do, Satan and his army will flee. Yes. Satan doesn't want to be in the presence of the Lord. Church, it's time to rise. It's time to rise up as that mighty, exceeding army. Let these that are lost know that we've got something to look forward to. Hell's not my home. I will never taste hell. I will never see hell. I won't even come close to hell. But there are some that are amiss, I feel, that will. If they don't get things straightened out between them and God, maybe tonight. So church, pray. Dig. If God's got something on your heart, follow. If God follows us to be quiet the rest of the night,
let's be quiet. Because I just want us to follow God and whatever it might be. Brother, if we could have a song. If you are here lost tonight, I want to invite you to Jesus. A lot of times we have an altar call. I want to have a call to Jesus tonight because you can come to this altar and you can pray at this altar.
But do you want to know something? It's just like a pew you're sitting in. It's made of wood. It's got foam padding on it.
It's a convenient place to come pray. Whether you're a saved child of God or whether you're lost, separated from God, it's a convenient place to pray. I want you to find Jesus.
Whether it be here or at your seat. We had a young lady at fellowship during one of our revivals go back into the Sunday school room.
She had to get away. She had too many distractions going on.
She had to get away. And you know what? She came out of the Sunday school room smiling from ear to ear. And she met somebody back here when she got back in. And it wasn't her sister. It was God. It was God. So tonight, you don't have to be on this bench to be saved. I guess that's the point we're getting to. You just need to find Jesus, wherever that might be here tonight. As we sing.